On the long line from our nation's capital, the Honorable Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Frank Lucas. Mr. Chairman, we're pleased to talk to you, and I know that you're still putting everything together after the announcement this last Friday, Saturday, of the agreement of the House to respond to the Senate, to go to conference, to get the naming of the conferees by the Speaker and by the Minority Leader. Give us a little bit of feel of the mechanics of how this whole process is going to kick off, how it's going to move forward. How, you know, what do you do to get things to where you get everybody in the room and start working?
Well, first of all, Ron, there have been so few actual conferences in the last 10 years, no matter who's in charge of the House, that for a lot of my members, this is a brand new process. Mechanically, what we have to do is sit down and work out the differences between the House bill and the Senate bill. The Senate has appointed their conferees. The House has now appointed their conferees. I'm still in what most folks would describe as a pre-conference mode, trying to work with the Chairwoman Stabenow, Ranking Member Cochran, and my House Committee Ranking Member Peterson to put as many of the miscellaneous details in order as possible, to sit down then and discuss which I will have a conversation with my fellow three main players later today as we speak now, to discuss the timing of the first formal conference. But mechanically, we'll meet as a committee. In the structure of the way things are done up here, this is the House of Representatives' turn to preside over the conference of the Farm Bill. So I'll be the chairman of the conference, the presiding officer. I suspect we'll have a formal meeting sometime in the near future, which will give all members an opportunity to outline their perspectives, to make their opening comments. At that point, then, you would expect us to recess, continue to work out the details amongst all the conferees. There may be a series of public meetings then on issues where we cannot come to an agreement. Maybe the final details on the nutrition title. Perhaps the final details on what kind of a real commodity safety net we have. But after a series of those, then ultimately a final conference committee meeting with a vote, hopefully, to accept the work product. The conferees have to sign the conference committee report requiring a majority of the House and a majority of the Senate. And then the product would go to both the House and the Senate for up or down votes. There would be an hour of debate basically in the House of Representatives when we get to that point. The language would not be subject to amendment. It's just an up or down vote. And if both bodies concur and we can persuade the president to sign, this process will be over with. But there are still areas of contention that have to be worked out. For instance, the Senate is still very focused on a one-size-fits-all, a kind of a commodity safety net, something that looks to me like would probably work very well in the Midwest if you're a corn or bean farmer, but perhaps won't work so well for the rest of us. The House perspective still is that a farm bill needs to work for all commodity groups in all regions. That's why the phrase choice is so important, giving you options to pick from. We've got to work that difference out. The nutrition title. The Senate still on record is saving $4.5 billion, which essentially comes out of the Heat and Eat program, LIHEAP, the program the Northeasterners use. The House is on record insisting on $40 billion in reform, essentially 10 times more. 39 point something, to be more precise, under CBO scoring, which basically would do away with automatic food stamps, would address heat and eat, would have work requirements, I mean, all sorts of things. So the differences have to be worked out there. Much of the other issues, conservation and all of those titles, we're very, very close to being on the same sheet of paper already. But this process, while it should go quickly, still will require both the House, including myself, and my friends in the Senate on the Ag Committee to achieve some consensuses so we can finish this. Now, on top of that, Ron, you've got all of this stuff swirling around about the government being closed, all these issues swirling around about the debt ceiling increase that the Secretary of the Treasury implies is necessary by the 17th of this month, tomorrow as you and I speak. That's sucked up a lot of the political oxygen in the environment, and that's focused so many members to that exclusively, but those of us on the Ag Committee in the House and the Senate are working very hard to try and get our differences sorted out to come up with something that we can all live with and support. I said on the floor, and I've said numerous times to my colleagues, it shouldn't be this hard to pass a bill to make sure that everybody has enough affordable, safe food to eat. But everything's hard these days. So Senator Stabenow and Senator Cochran and Congressman Peterson and myself and the rest of the conferees just have to work a little harder.
With the naming of the conferees on the House side, you've got more than just House Agriculture Committee members that will be a part of your conference working with the Senate. What was going on with Speaker Boehner, Ms. Pelosi, in regards to these extra players that have been put on the field with you?
Well, I can't speak to the minority leader, but I believe Speaker Boehner was attempting to try and achieve a committee that when we finish our work, that was not only a reflection of the country, but a reflection of the conference to help us in moving the final product to Caros. Now, there have been several folks up here. Traditionally, in the House, leadership has the right to put one of their people, a designee, so to speak, on the committee. And there's been some discussion about Mr. Sutherland of Florida being the leadership appointee on the conference with his very, of course, strong focus on the work requirement in the food stamp program. I'd simply say this. I think we can work with Mr. Sutherland. I think the thoughts that he brings, while ultimately the final food stamp section title won't look exactly like what the House or the Senate either one passed, I think he brings a necessary perspective to that. And I would remind people who are concerned about him that in the last Farm Bill in 2008, then Speaker Pelosi put Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut, an appropriator on the committee, exclusively to make sure, as I remember it, that not only that we did not reform food stamps, that we put more money into food stamps. So I would assure anyone who's concerned, working with Congressman Sutherland in this environment will be a whole lot less complicated than that environment Speaker Pelosi created back in 2008 with that particular leadership appointment.
Congressman, I know that your ranking member, Mr. Peterson, has been quoted in the media up in his part of the country as saying that he's concerned that the right wing of the GOP, the GOP leadership, may or may not allow this bill to go forward based on the nutrition priorities they have. Are you concerned that we're going to be able to get a deal on nutrition?
Ron, we can work out the nutrition issues. My main concern is, and if you watch the way the commodity groups and the general farm organizations are struggling with this, it's the commodity title. The commodity title is still the farm in the farm bill. What kind of a safety net do we have? Will it work for everyone? Will it be possible for everyone to participate? The Senate is very focused on their version of conservation compliance, tying access to the government programs to how you farm. The Senate is very focused on their AGI limits, deciding at what level of income you have to pay more to participate in crop insurance, targeting the resources, deciding who is too big to be a farmer, in essence. I even had some of those instructions on the floor as I was going to conference in a voice vote, a non-binding resolution offered by the Budget Committee Chairman, Mr. Ryan, from Wisconsin. So it's the safety net, and it's just how much do we let the federal government tell farmers and ranchers how to farm? Those are the questions. I believe we can overcome all of this. I'm going to be insistent that we have a safety net we can all be a part of. But before this is over with, whether it's conservation compliance, and I'm proud to see a couple of the big farm organizations now have reversed their role in that, the support of that program, or the AGI limit, I still have this funny idea that farmers should be allowed to farm. And the resources should follow the production. But those things have to be worked out, Ron, and they're real philosophical issues that cut to the core. Now, the folks in this town, and many in this building, who really don't understand rural America, who really have no clue about agricultural economics, are totally consumed by the nutrition title. But if we will maintain the standard that the House Ag Committee established, which is we're not taking one calorie off the plate of one deserving person, but we're going to make sure that everyone demonstrates they qualify. We're going to make sure that the states have the ability to enforce those standards. And we're going to make sure that there is some component of work to this so that you participate in the help you get, then I think we'll have a bill that will pass. Now, that said, even once we complete our work in the conference committee, and both bodies have passed it, I would hope that the Senate will help persuade the president that you just not only need to reform the commodity title and crop insurance and conservation, but you also need to reform the food stamp title. Because remember, in all the president's budgets, while he talked about taking big money out of crop insurance and big money out of the commodity title, he never, ever wanted to go near reform of food stamps. We've got to reform everything. After all, we have a $17 trillion national debt running $1 trillion a year out of balance. We don't have any extra money to spend. So what we spend has to be spent wisely, and we're going to try and do that in the conference committee.
Congressman, back on the 4th of October, we had this unfortunate blizzard situation up in western South Dakota, eastern Wyoming, parts of Nebraska. Hundreds, thousands of cattle, of course, have died. Did this have anything to do with the moving forward and getting the confreres named, especially because of the lack of the livestock disaster programs?
I think Mother Nature helped remind a good many of my colleagues just how tough farming is. And the pictures on the national websites of the remains of all those cattle that were died of hyperthermia or were smothered in snowdrifts were pretty graphic. And it's sad when you have to have a tragedy to remind people. But, yes, I think the tragedy that befell our friends in the Northern Plains was a sad but very firm reminder that this is a tough business and this is why we have to have a safety net. Not just the crop side, but the livestock side, too.
Congressman, you mentioned the fact that you do have some national groups out with, I guess you might call their wish list of what the conferees might do regarding a conference report. American Farm Bureau, National Farmers Union, both indicating that they would really like to see permanent law left alone. Then they would also like to see the issue of nutrition and the Farm Bill itself remarried as far as put back in sync as far as expiration is concerned. Where do you see things like this playing out in the conference?
I'd simply say this. As we go into the negotiations with the Senate, I have a responsibility to defend the House bill as passed. I suspect that when it's all said and done, that the Senate and the administration will be very insistent on the food stamp and the commodity title running concurrently. But as we go into conference, my responsibility is to defend the House position, and I will do that. On the other issue, on permanent law, this is just a philosophical debate that I'm having with all the lobbyists here in the nation's capital. As hard as it is to reinvent the wheel every time, and when you start with the 1938 law, remember Franklin Roosevelt signed it into law, when you start along with that, the 1949 law, signed into law by President Truman, you're in effect recreating the wheel every time. It gets harder and harder and harder to address the non-social welfare side of the Farm Bill, the things that actually raise the food every time. My personal perspective, and the committee agreed with me, and the floor agreed with me, the United States House, that if we could craft good long-term policy, that we would be better off to lock that in, to establish that as the new baseline, than to constantly fall back to 38 and 1949 law. But I also understand that recreating the wheel from scratch makes a lot of extra work for the people who walk the hallways up here as professional lobbyists. I understand it creates a lot more excitement and reasons for folks to participate. But remember, I am by training a Western Oklahoma wheat farmer. I don't like excitement. I like certainty. I like to take as many uncontrollable variables off out of the field as possible. the position the Senate's taken is very strong. I don't know that it's possible. Even my ranking member, Mr. Peterson, is very focused on maintaining a permanent law. But just understand from my perspective, if we could create the language I believe we can, that we can live with for a long time, it's better to have that locked in than to risk a day when we can't pass another farm bill and some president and some leader in the Senate and some speaker in the House say, we can't go back to 1938 and simply run as a part of another bill an instruction to repeal all of the old permanent law. That's more dangerous to me than having good policy that we could live with for the next 10 years in place. But it generates less business for a lot of people.
One last question, Mr. Chairman. In regards to getting this thing done, you're, of course, from Western Oklahoma. You got to be an optimist to be a farmer or rancher. Are you going to be able to get this thing done by December 31st?
The speaker's point was very clear as he nominated the conferees, be done by the end of this calendar year. And my goal is to move the language as quick as I possibly can. Once we can work out the commodity title safety net, once we can come up with some common agreed-to set of reforms in the new food stamp title, nutrition, as quick as we can. Because the environment we're working in, Ron, just gets wilder and wilder and more complicated. The debt ceiling, the CR concepts of extending the present federal government, just trying to do appropriation bills. The quicker we get our work done and we're off the field, so to speak, the better off everyone in rural America is, and by the way, every consumer is.
Thank you, Congressman, the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Frank Lucas, talking with us today about this whole conference process, trying to get across the finish line with the 2013 Farm Bill. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.